In the midst of frozen water, we began to die of thirst. We had little to heat the snow with save our own bodies, and eating that white dust until it numbed us made us groggy with the cold of it, slowing our speech and step. But we kept on, though the cold sucked at us, whether awake or trying to sleep, and the harsh sun blinded us in fields of glittering white and filled our eyes with pain. The wind cut us. Snow tried to swallow us, mountains like cut black glass blocked us, and the stars on clear nights taunted us, but on we came. Near 2,000 kilometers, little one, with only the small amount of food we could carry from the wreck. What little equipment had not been turned to junk by the barrier beast and our own determination. We were 44 when we left the battlecruiser, 27 when we began our trek across the snows. 8 of my kind, 19 of the Medjool folk. 2 of us completed the journey, and 6 of our servants. Do you wonder that we fell upon the first place we found with light and heat? Does it surprise you that we just took and did not ask? We had seen brave warriors and faithful servants die of cold, watched each other wear away as though the ice blasts had abraded us. We had looked into the cloudless, pitiless skies of a dead and alien place and wondered who might be eating who when the dawnlight came. We made a joke of it at first, but later, when we had marched a 30-day and most of us were dead, in ice gullies, mountain ravines, or raw in our own bellies, we did not think it so funny. Some of the last, perhaps, not believing our course was true, I think died of despair. We killed your human friends, these other changes. I killed one with my own hands, another, the first, fell to a Medjool while he still slept. The one in the control room fought bravely, and when he knew he was lost, destroyed many of the controls. I salute him. There was another who put up a fight in the place where they stored things. He, too, died well. You should not grieve too much for them. I shall face my superiors with the truth in my eyes and heart. They will not discipline me. They will reward me, should I ever stand before them.
Hawser was behind the Adiran, walking down the tunnel after him, while Yalsin took a rest from guarding the tall triped. Hawser had asked Zugzal to tell him what had happened to the raiding party which had come to the planet inside the Chuihertzi animal. The Adiran had responded with an oration.
She,
Hawser said.
What, human?
Zugzal's voice rumbled down the tunnel. He hadn't bothered to turn round when he talked. He spoke to the clear air of the foot tunnel leading to Station 7, his powerful, bassy voice easily heard even by Wubslin and Avager, who were bringing up the rear of the small, motley band.
You did it again, Hawser said, wearily, talking to the back of the Adiran's head.
The one killed while asleep, it was a she, a woman, a female.
Well, the Medjool attended to her. We laid them out in the corridor. Some of their food proved edible. It tasted like heaven to us.
How long ago was that? Hawser asked.
About 8 days, I think. It is hard to keep time down here. We tried to construct a mass sensor immediately, knowing that it would be invaluable, but we were unsuccessful. All we had was what was undamaged from the changer base. Most of our own equipment had been attacked by the beast of the barrier, or had to be abandoned when we set off from the warp animal to come here, or left en route as we died off.
You must have thought it was a bit of luck finding the mine so easily. Hawser kept his rifle trained on the tall Adiran's neck, watching Zugzal all the time. The creature might be injured. Hawser knew enough about the species to tell that the section leader was in pain just from the way he walked. But he was still dangerous. Hawser didn't mind him talking, though. It passed the time.
We knew it was injured. We found it in Station 6, and it did not move or show any sign of noticing us. We assumed that those were only the signs of its damage. We already knew that you had arrived. It was only a day ago. We accepted our good luck without second thoughts and prepared to make our escape. You only just stopped us. Another few hours and we would have had that train working.
More likely you'd have blown yourself into radioactive dust, Hawser told the Adiran.
Think what you like, little one. I knew what I was doing.
I'm sure, Hawser said skeptically. Why did you take all the guns with you and leave the Medjool on the surface without a weapon?
We had intended to take one of the changers alive and interrogate him, but failed. Our own fault, no doubt. Had we done so, we could have reassured ourselves there was nobody else down here ahead of us. We were so late in getting here, after all.
We took all the available weaponry down with us and left the servant on the surface with only a communicator, so we didn't find the communicator, Hauser interrupted.
Good. He was supposed to hide it when not checking in, Zuxal said, then went on. So we had what little firepower we did possess where it might be needed most. Once we realized that we were in here by ourselves, we sent a servant up with a weapon for our guard. Unhappily for him, it would appear he arrived very shortly after you did.
Don't worry, Horza said. He did well. Damn nearly blew my head off. Zuxal laughed. Horza flinched slightly at the sound. It was not only loud, it was cruel in a way Zoralundra's laugh had not been.
His poor slave soul is at rest then, Zuxal boomed. His tribe can ask for no more.